This is the OrthoCincy Mo Egger Show. OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is the orthopedic authority. Now, here's Mo Egger on ESPN 1530.
Hey, that's us. 5:06. This is ESPN 1530. I'm Mo Egger. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you're having an awesome Thursday, a wonderful first day of fall. By the way, tonight we do have the roundtable show on ESPN 1530 from 6 to 8. So stick around when we're done. You'll hear Lance and Rocky from Longnecks and Wilder. Obviously that show moves over here because of Reds baseball down the hall. So you'll have that. Also, our buddy Art DeCesar, 5:45, is going to help us make some money on pro and college football this week. We'll check in with Tony Pike a couple more times at Buffalo Wild Wings in Westchester. This is the OrthoCincy Mo Egger Show. We are appreciative of their partnership on Thursdays. OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is the orthopedic authority. And the great thing is they have flexible hours, and you never need an appointment if you need to go see one of the doctors or one of these specialists at OrthoCincy. Check them out, OrthoCincy.com. 12 tri-state locations. I'm excited to do this. It's nice to have some company in the studio. Kelsey Conway is with us. She covers the Cincinnati Bengals for The Inquirer. You can read her work at Cincinnati.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Kelsey L. Conway. It only took her about a year on the beat to follow me back on Twitter. At Kelsey L. Conway. She is also the host of the Bengals Beat podcast, and there is a special edition coming up from the Holy Grail with a guy that I think is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, Andrew Whitworth, obviously a part of the Prime Video broadcast crew. You'll see him tonight. You can go see him and Kelsey and Jason Williams at the Grail on Wednesday of next week, and that should be a lot of fun as we get set for the Dolphins game. It's good to have you. What's going on?
I love being here, and I'm super excited about that podcast that you just talked about. I definitely think Andrew Whitworth is going to be a Hall of Famer, and it'll be great because even though it's extended lunch break, maybe ask your bosses, hey, do you mind if I take a little bit longer lunch break? It's going to be at 12:30 during the day.
Right. Liquid lunch.
Yes, exactly. That's the audience we were going for. And yes, of course, he'll be there on Thursday, but you know, he'll be on the pregame show, so he might not be able to engage with the fans.
Right.
So if you're a big Andrew Whitworth fan, which I know a ton of people in Cincinnati are, this might be your chance to get to see him, talk with him after the podcast. So be sure to come. If you like Andrew Whitworth, you want to hear some funny conversations, we'll talk about his career here in Cincinnati. But yeah, if you can, come check it out. And I also think the energy next week is going to be through the roof with that Thursday night game, and it's the day before. So just get yourself an extra day to get ready.
Well, you can get an extra day to get ready for the Dolphins game. And here's the thing about Andrew. Number one, I watched his Prime Video debut last week. I thought he was excellent. Mm-hmm. Didn't look like a newbie. I think enough time has passed from his departure here that, okay, that story has kind of been told. He still really pays close attention to the Bengals. You get the sense he still roots for this team. The thing for me as a fan was, God, I wanted to be happy for him that he won a ring. And I'm still not. Still salty.
So that was interesting because I went out to L.A. early for the Super Bowl. And the story that when the minute that the Chiefs lost and the Bengals were going to the Super Bowl and we found out that it was going to be against the Rams, the number one thing that came to my head was I got to find a way to do a feature on Andrew Whitworth because it was talked about like that could potentially be his last season. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to talk to his wife too. So I was able to get connected to his wife and they were so kind. They let me go to their house in LA. And let me tell you, their house in LA, I don't know where they lived in Cincinnati, but it was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And she, Melissa Whitworth, Andrew was at practice, so I didn't get to talk with him, but she couldn't have been more appreciative of their time in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And you would know more about this than me. They were really hurt. She said they did not want to leave Cincinnati, and it took them a while to get over that. And she said they fought really hard to stay, but she said everything happens for a reason, and knowing what Andrew's doing now with broadcasts, like it makes sense why L.A. is a great place for them. Plus, he won a Super Bowl, but They are still huge supporters of the Bengals. If you follow him on Twitter, you know, he's very expressive about the Bengals are going to get this thing right.
Yeah.
And, you know, she couldn't have said nicer things about Cincinnati. So I hope the city of Cincinnati gives him a warm welcome here.
No question. He'll be in the Bengals Ring of Honor one day. You know, football is not like baseball. Baseball, you go into the Hall of Fame as a certain member of a team. That football doesn't work that way. But, you know, there are going to be a lot of folks who identify him with the Rams because he played in a couple of Super Bowls, and it felt like his national profile just became so much bigger. He was on the cover of SI. But he established himself as one of the premier linemen in this sport during a very long run here in Cincinnati, and that should not be forgotten. I know it isn't here, and it's going to be. I don't know when they're going to put him in the Ring of Honor, but clearly he's going to be one day on that ballot, and because of his popularity and because of how good he was, his name will be up there.
And another interesting thing about my visit to their house was after we were done the interview, Melissa Whitworth let me kind of see their house because they have this whole like sports memorabilia wall. They've got a copy of the Inquirer framed. They had a menu of like the precinct framed.
Yeah.
They had him as a fathead in a Bengals jersey and a Rams jersey. So it was really cool. But I thought the coolest thing about it was when I'm looking through the different rooms of her kids, she's showing me everything. And I don't know how many people know this, but Andrew Whitworth reached out to Joe Burrow when he was rehabbing after that gruesome knee injury his rookie year, and he didn't know him. But because they're both LSU family, they reached out to him, and apparently Joe Burrow came over there and hung out with them a ton while he was rehabbing, and his kids fell in love with Joe Burrow so much that there's a fat head of Burrow above like one of his kids' beds, and when you walk in, you see Burrow signed it. So that was pretty cool because he's getting ready for the Super Bowl and his kids are like torn. It's like, yeah, that's my dad, but right. I have this really cool fat head that's signed of Joe Burrow. But I thought that was just really telling of how caring Andrew Whitworth is and how there's no bad blood. You know, he just reached out to Burrow, and I think Burrow was asked about it, but I don't think a lot of people know about that story. I think it's pretty cool.
My thing with Andrew coming to town is after watching Lael Collins play, I mean, maybe you at the podcast can coax him into giving him some reps in that Thursday nighter and, you know, just see what he's got left in the tank.
That's one of my favorite things to talk about with the rest of the beat reporters, because I've only been covering the Bengals for this is year two.
Right.
Like, when was the last time they had a really good tackle? And all of them say, Andrew Whitworth.
2015.
They haven't been able to get it right since Andrew Whitworth.
Well, and so his departure kind of became the avatar for the franchise's inability to develop good offensive lines, and they've tried. I mean, you know, the criticism that they would get would be that they don't care, you know, when they didn't take Penei Sewell, and they got it right there with Ja'Marr Chase. Penei Sewell's going to end up being a very good player with the Lions, but the criticism from those who thought they should take Sewell is, well, in Cincinnati, they don't care about the offensive line. And I go, do you realize the resources they've poured into that bunch, the draft picks they've used, the stabs at free agency, the players they've thought that they were going to, you know, be able to slide in? And yeah, they let Whitworth get away, but it wasn't so much about that. It was the inability to find a replacement. And here we are, 7 years later. Jonah Williams may end up being a fine player, but oh, there's still maddening inconsistency, at least this season. And so his departure still echoes, even though it's been, he left in March of 2017. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, so fill me in here. Why was it such a tense breakup? Is it that Andrew wanted a certain amount of money that the Bengals didn't give him? Like, what really went down there?
So here's, as I recall, they drafted two linemen in 2015.
Okay.
Oboihe, Cedric Oboihe, and Jake Fisher. Now, 2015, they're coming off four straight playoff years. They had good offensive lines. Andrew was still a big part of that offensive line. And so you could look at the long view and go, okay, well, is this guy going to continue to play at this level for, you know, so many years? He is approaching his, you know, mid-30s. And so they drafted his replacement, and there were some hurt feelings there. And I don't remember the specifics of it, but I remember Whit being asked about it, and he wasn't happy. And who of us would be?
Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love situation?
Yeah. I mean, it was basically here's Andrew's replacement, right? Mm-hmm. And Cedric Oboye had a significant knee injury in college, so there were those folks who were like, well, you know, I'm not sure that's the guy you want to replace him with. So in 2015, they had maybe the best offensive line in football. And Andrew Whitworth
was
the best offensive lineman on that. And there was, you know, Kevin Zeitler, really good offensive line. Clint Bowling, Andre Smith, good, good unit. So in 16, Andrew plays. The offensive line is not quite as good, but he's still playing at a very high level. They're still trying to figure it out with Oboye and Fisher. It was never really working with those guys. What I recall was, okay, they've got Zeitler. They don't value guards, which means they're going to pay Witt. And I will never forget this. I was at spring training in Arizona, and I get like the alert on my phone, Kevin Zeitler signs with the Browns. And that wasn't unexpected. And okay, and it's, you know, like 3 hours, 2 hours difference, whatever it is. And I, okay, fine. I go and take a shower, and I get like three missed calls, and it's like, Andrew Whitworth is going to the Rams. That wasn't supposed to happen. I remember having a conversation, and I don't remember who it was with, but it was on the air. Somebody really plugged in. Really plugged in. Somebody on the beat. Somebody really plugged in, and they were coming back from the scouting combine. And, you know, Duke Tobin speaks and Marvin Lewis speaks. Mm-hmm. And I remember we're like, okay, free agency's coming. They're probably not going to keep Kevin Zeitler. So there's no way they let Witt go. And it was, nope, it's not, you know. So when he left, it was a shock. Because despite all the bad feelings about taking his replacement, the replacement stunk. And so then there was this, they're still going to keep him. And when they didn't, it stung. And they haven't had a good offensive line since.
Yeah.
That's a long answer to your question.
Yeah, no, but I've been wanting to kind of learn more about the situation, about, you know, why it was from their side. They were upset. But I think overall, like you said, so much time has passed. He went on and got a ring.
Yeah.
That sucked that it happened to be against the Bengals.
Yes.
But what, you got to be happy for him in that regard. And I know he did a lot in the community when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, him and his wife, from the conversations I've had with them, have said nothing but wonderful things about Cincinnati. And they said, like, the food scene in Cincinnati, they like put it up there with LA. Melissa said that her and Andrew used to have date night every Friday, and they loved going out to the different spots. Mm-hmm. Like Boca, the Precinct. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I've always gathered that he has an incredible amount of affection for the city. But watching him in LA was bittersweet for a lot of us. Yeah. But he's got his ring. He's on TV now, and so he's going to be back in town.
Yes.
Next Wednesday, 12:30.
Mm-hmm. 12:30.
Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be yourself and Jason Williams and Andrew Whitworth.
Yes.
Just chopping it up.
Chopping it up. We have no agenda. We're just so excited that he is going to join us. And so, you know, fans, tweet me, send me questions if you have that you want me to ask him. Anything you guys want to know, I'll try and get you as much information.
All right, well, my question is,
okay, let me write it down.
the show is next Wednesday. The game is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Can you play tomorrow night? Okay.
So he'll do the pregame show, then run off.
Yeah.
And change.
Well, figure that out with the Prime folks or whatever.
I'm going to lead the broadcast with that.
Tom Brady signed up to work for Fox, and he's still playing. Just with you want to make it right. You want to make it a whole comeback. Let's forget Lyle Collins, and we could watch him play, and that'd be fine by me.
I think I might favor them to win if that happened.
Me too. All right, hang tight. I have other questions for you. Kelsey Conway is here covering the Bengals for the Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. Again, the event is at the Grail on Wednesday at 12:30. Kelsey, Jason Williams, and Andrew Whitworth. You don't need tickets to just show up.
Free.
Wow. Well, you can't beat that. All right, that's at 12:30 on Wednesday. It's 19 minutes after 5 o'clock. We have more ground to cover. It's the Ortho Cincy Mo Egger Show on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
Get an earful of the Roundtable Show tonight at 6 on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
Ortho Cincy Mo Egger Show on ESPN 1530, 26 after 5 o'clock. Kelsey Conway from The Inquirer and Cincinnati.com is with us in studio. Bengals and Jets coming up on Sunday. Game live on ESPN 1530. I'll be watching it at Bad Tom Smith Brewing. Come on out and hang out. Have a cold one. Tony Pike is at Buffalo Wild Wings in Westchester until 6 o'clock. If you're in the area, go see him. And you could talk a little football, and you could spend the rest of the evening getting set for Thursday night football, Browns and Steelers. There's a couple of college games. You could watch the Reds. Most importantly, you could buy Tony a beer. Has anybody done that yet?
Yes, I've had a beer bought for me. But, Mo, I guess the biggest point now is, what do you say, what's the go-to answer when people ask you what's going on with the Bengals? I don't even know where to start. And I feel like a lot of people are asking for answers. I just don't have the answers. All I can tell you is that BW3s is the best place possible to watch football. It's the best place possible for happy hour 3 to 6 every day. Buy one, get one free boneless wings on Thursday night. That I can tell you. What's wrong with the Bengals? I can't tell you.
Well, the scary thing for me is I don't expect you to have that answer. My fear is that Zach Taylor doesn't have that answer.
Correct. It was kind of odd, the answer to Lael Collins today, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, we expect him to go tomorrow. We'll evaluate it then. I have a feeling that maybe we'll hear this again throughout the season from Zach Taylor about Lael Collins, which doesn't exactly scream confidence for this Bengals offensive line.
No, it doesn't, nor does the prospect of having to watch Akeem Adeniji. So I might need to start drinking tonight. I might need to start the bodyguard. Yeah, I might have to show up at Buffalo Wild Wings tonight and start drinking if I have to watch Akeem Adeniji on Sunday.
Did you ever think that going into game 3 we would be talking about Akeem Adeniji?
Well, when I was watching Lyle Collins on Sunday, yeah, I thought, you know what? I'm going to be talking about Akeem Adeniji, and here we are.
But remember when, you know, like people were spotting him at the Kenwood Mall and things like that?
Yeah.
I never thought that this would lead to Akeem Adeniji talk in week 3.
No, but that's our new reality. Your reality is you're at the Buffalo Wild Wings right off I-75 till 6 o'clock in Westchester, correct?
Absolutely. It's so easy off the Union Center exit. Left on Mostetler Road, you're here within a minute off the exit. And whether you want to watch the President's Cup, whether you want to watch Thursday night football, I think the Reds play a game. I know their magic number is 4 wins away from staying away from a 100-loss season, and that starts tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could really feel the anticipation in the air all throughout the city. All right, well, we'll check in before you leave, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mo.
All right, Tony Pike, the Buffalo Wild Wings in Westchester. Kelsey Conway is here. Akeem Adeniji, we excited? We think we're going to watch him on Sunday. Is Lyle Collins going to be okay? Phil, what's going on?
So, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I read that he gets paid $100,000 for every game that he plays. Mm. So, would you suck up your back soreness if you said, hey, Mo, you're going to make $100,000 if you play on Sunday?
I don't like working weekends. Well, one might argue he didn't play this past Sunday. So did he make the $100,000? I guess maybe he's going to be on the field because of that. But if we're now led to believe the back issue was a reason why he has struggled so much, and then it kept him out of practice on Wednesday and Thursday, why should I expect to see him play drastically better this Sunday?
So I have a lot to say on this, and I tweeted a lot about it yesterday. The entire time during training camp that he wasn't practicing, a lot of people kept saying on Twitter and other people, he doesn't need to practice. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. I've been covering the NFL for 9 years now. There is no coach and there's no player who doesn't need practice. Like, there's no coach that's like, you can just, you know, sit it out for 3 weeks straight. Like that, that narrative that was going around was wrong.
Yeah.
And if you talk to Brian Callahan and Frank Pollock, they kept reiterating, like, we got to get him some reps because, you know, it's not like the four others had played together before too. So it was a big deal that he didn't practice. And then his first couple practices back, he's the one that starts the fight with the Rams and ends practice early. So my expectations were already super low. And then we go into the game against Dallas, and as you mentioned, just how terrible it was, I was like, okay, you know, he talked to us after the game, very, very short answers, but thought this week, okay, let's give him another chance.
Yeah.
So we get out there on Wednesday and the media is only allowed to watch the first 30 minutes of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed right away, I'm one of the first reporters out there because he's so big and noticeable. I'm like, I don't see 71.
Yeah.
And so then I do a lap because it's three big fields. So I want to make sure before I send that tweet that he's not there. Wasn't on the rehab field, but Jermaine Pratt was. So Jermaine Pratt wasn't dressed like he was practicing, but he was on the rehab field.
Right.
So I don't see LC, and then I confirm it, and then we get the injury report later. So for those that don't understand the NFL schedule, Wednesday is a very taxing mental day. It is not a hard physical day.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought was, you either must be really, your back must be really in pain if you can't even suck it up to do the, essentially, like Wednesday is the install of the game plan. It's basically just a glorified walkthrough. Mm-hmm. They don't even wear pads. Like, if you can't even get yourself to be out there for the install of the game plan, that is a problem.
Yeah.
Because like you just said, how is he expected to, how do we expect him to perform better when he's not even working on the game plan with his with the other offensive line, and we can't take your word for he's going to be okay, he has enough reps, because that's not the case.
Right.
So the whole thing, when I noticed he wasn't there on Wednesday, I'm like, that is a major red flag.
Yeah, but he was like in the locker room.
Yes,
in the morning.
But he didn't come to practice.
And didn't come out to practice. And yet Zach, listening to him at 1 o'clock, didn't say anything about it.
Yes.
And then Frank Pollock is asked about it, and he's told, you ask Frank.
Yes.
And then Frank says, well, go ask Zach.
Yes.
Really feels like it's a well-run operation down there.
Mm-hmm. And the thing with him not practicing again today is, okay, if he's able to get himself to be able to do a little on Friday, would you rather, at this point, I'm asking you this with a straight face.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a 50% LC against, by the way, the Jets defensive line is pretty good. They're not, you know, they're not the Cowboys,
they're
not the Steelers.
Yes.
But Quinnen Williams, he's no joke. Like, they're pretty nasty up front. Would you rather have a 50% LC or Hakeem Adeniji?
Fully healthy. What's option C?
Andrew Smith.
Whitworth. Andrew Whitworth.
Because that's where we're headed.
So I'll say option B, Hakeem Adeniji, if you're going to tell me that the week off will get Lyle Collins to a place where he is 100% on Thursday. Because now I'm operating under the assumption that I saw a physically compromised player. He did look stiff against Dallas.
But Mo, here's the thing about the back.
I mean,
it's a mysterious injury. Nobody has.
Yeah, it's non-football. Yeah, yeah.
We don't know what type of back injury it is. The whole thing has been weird from the jump.
Okay. So, but I'm gonna believe him. I'm gonna believe that he's actually hurt. I'm gonna believe that the injury caused him to play poorly or helped him play poorly against Pittsburgh and Dallas. And I'm gonna say, cool, sit out. We got a short week. Adeniji's gonna play. I'll hold my nose, and then. LC, is that what we're calling him?
Yes.
All right, LC, show up for game four against Miami and be 100%.
I can see that. I can see that's totally fair.
I mean, right now there's not a huge difference between Hakeem Adeniji and what I saw from Lyle Collins the last 2 weeks. That. So if you want to say what the last 2 weeks was a result of him, at least in part, being physically compromised, stop being physically compromised, don't do anything, and hopefully you're ready to go for Miami. Or we get through Miami, then there's the mini bye, and they come back, and he's ready to go for Baltimore.
But here's my rebuttal that might anger you.
No.
Yes, he did not play well against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But from what I've gathered of watching the game and talking with other people who have evaluated it, a lot of his mistakes were mental.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with your back.
Well, you mean like when Micah Parsons is standing there 6 feet away and he's the closest guy and the ball is snapped and Lyle Collins blocks somewhere that's not in the direction of Micah Parsons and he runs right past him? You mean to tell me that's not a physical blocking issue?
So that's why I'm trying to say, like, even if he doesn't play and his back gets healthy, how are we supposed to trust that it's going to be a better product?
The whole Lyle Collins experience has been weird from the get-go.
From the get-go. Weird that nobody else really wanted to bring him in.
Right.
Weird that he had a mysterious back injury. Weird that he didn't practice. Weird that he had a day during training camp where he had personal reasons, wasn't even at practice.
Yeah.
Weird
that the Dallas Cowboys found him expendable.
Yeah.
And I know there's, you know, money issues and stuff, but it wasn't, we're going to cut you, but we'd love to bring you back and renegotiate. It was, see ya. peace out with years, guaranteed years left on your deal.
And I think it's important to make this point that, you know, you and I aren't like looking at this with a magnifying glass, like trying to pick at the Bengals. Like, this was such an important signing, and it was made out to be a really big deal because mm-hmm. he said he's going to be the bodyguard.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to be this glass eater. And Frank Pollock was supposed to change him. And when you talk it up like that, as a result, sometimes now it's going to come back at you. So we're just calling it how it is. The whole thing has been weird. And I'm telling you that him not being out there for that Wednesday install day was a giant red flag.
I'm going to Akeem Adeniji. Give me Akeem Adeniji on Sunday. The light bulb's going to come on, and then you're going to talk with Andrew Whitworth about how great Akeem Adeniji was at the Holy Grail on Wednesday. See, I brought it full circle.
That sounds like a plan.
And if he stinks, then you're going to have to beg Andrew Whitworth to play for the Bengals against Miami.
Okay, I'll lead my podcast with, are you available to play if the team needs you on Thursday?
Perfect. All right, so again, Holy Grail, Wednesday, 12:30, lunchtime.
Yes.
Whit, Jason Williams, and yourself.
Yes, we would love to see you guys. Come on out. Should be a lot of fun. Probably not as fun as I'm having with Mo in studio, but we'll try.
There's no food in here. There's certainly no alcohol in here. Although it is a Thursday and we typically do have a cocktail on Thursdays. So no, I would disagree with that assessment entirely. The doors aren't open. No, we're sitting here in a little booth. This is nowhere near as fun, but I do appreciate you coming up.
Thanks so much for having me. It's
and,
a blast.
Don't be a stranger.
Yes.
All right, Wednesday, Holy Grail Banks. You could read Kelsey's work in your Morning Inquirer, also at Cincinnati.com and follow her on Twitter as well, at Kelsey L. Conway. 22 away from 6 o'clock, still ahead, our buddy Art DeCesar as we look ahead to the pro and college football weekend and gambling. This is the Ortho Cincy Mo Egger Show on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.